This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the W12 podcast. Thanks for tuning in and listening. I'm Ben Platt. We are going to run through. I was hoping the podcast was going to be... Do you know what? I was really optimistic that this podcast was going to be really positive today after a good result yesterday. Quietly optimistic. You know, when I did a Stoke podcast a couple of days before and I was like, oh, I could go either way, 50-50. But really in my head, I was thinking, we're going to win this. We're going to win. I didn't want to say it. Luckily, I didn't. So we're going to go through that. We're going to go through Norwich Saturday. We're going to go through a few other bits and bobs. But just quickly before we do, on the pod this week, we've got Ars Insight. Harry's back. You okay, mate?
Yeah, all good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You went to the game, did you, yesterday?
The game. I was at the game. Long drive home. Sad drive home. I'm pretty deflating getting up for work this morning. Pretty knackered now, so I'll do well to be upbeat, I reckon.
Yeah. We'll come to you in a minute, mate. Chris, Dunk, you alright, lads?
Yeah, kind of similar feelings to Harry, to be honest. But we can get into it. I'm sure some energy will come out of all of us through just frustration.
It's gonna be negative enough. Energy.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to go on a few rants, but I'm not going to. I don't think I'm going to try not to, but I could do with really letting loose. But anyway, Doug, what's going on with your background, mate? You're in like Barbados or something?
I'm in Barbados, yeah. So I've finished skiing and I've gone to Barbados now. That's for the next advert.
Joanne Barbie. Yeah. In Barbados.
Yeah, I'm trying to lift my mood. Because it's like wet and miserable here, and just wanted to have a bit of like a nice scenery background to try and cheer myself up.
So let's talk Norwich first, because we haven't spoken about that yet, and actually there's probably a lot to talk to and go through on that, and I'm sure we'll go on to Stoke throughout the pod, but Dunk, Norwich game. Do you know what? I said to you this at the time. I remember saying it, that we have to start winning our home games. Drawing at home is not good enough. It's not good. We need more than that. I get the performance was okay, and I get the resilience, and I get that Marty's, you know, up until yet last night, you know, looked positive. New signings did well. I get all that. But if you're not winning your home games, it makes these games like yesterday much more important, or actually when you lose, they impact us much more. You know, we'd managed to get a result on Saturday, then yesterday's loss, wouldn't have seemed as bad. But like one win in six at home in the turn of the year, I just don't think it's good enough. You know, not against the greatest of opposition, really. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we've played some really top teams at home either.
I mean, I get what you're saying about the general home form, but Norwich are flying at the minute. Like I had to do a Norwich pod the other week, and they were expecting to like beat us quite comfortably. They've had one loss, and that was away at Leeds since the turn of the year. Like, they're doing really well, so I feel like to get back as a draw is a solid result for us. I think if we had been 2-1 up and lost it at the end, that's a bit more of a kick in the teeth, isn't it? It wasn't like we were playing against a Stoke who we should expect to try and beat at home. Like, I feel like sometimes you have to take into consideration who we're playing. Norwich on form are up there at the top at right end of the table.
Yeah, I know, but you look at Huddersfield yesterday, last night, Sunderland right up there, good sides, 1-0, they're solid,
Yeah,
but then what I mean
but
is
Sunderland's
you've got.
form's been patchy since Beale took over, though. That's what I'm saying. Norwich's form's been they've been flying. Like, that's when
Yeah,
I say
Norwich are
take
doing
him.
better. I don't know. I don't know. I could be right. I just think that our home form is not good enough, and it won't be good enough until we improve it. We won't stay up on the current home form that we're on, even since the turn of the year. It's been better. Appreciated that. But still, 1 win in 6. It's just, I just don't think it's good enough.
No, it's not
And
good
it.
enough. Like, we all know the home form's shocking. We know the record of like not winning at home for the whole calendar year was shocking. Like, the home form has not just been this last season, it's been going on for a few seasons. But like, obviously we're going to talk about Stoke in a bit, but we're talking about these games where we can get out or give ourselves a chance to get out of the bottom three, and we bottle them every time. It was the fourth chance, yeah, last night to get out the bottom three, and we bottled it again. We've bottled it 4 times. We've got no mentality. The mentality in the squad is so weak and so fragile that how are they going to perform at home? But it's almost like we're better away from home because there's less fans, there's less pressure. So that's why we perform better away from home than we do at home.
Yeah, Chris, what was your reflections on Norwich?
I think Dunk's made good points. I think we have to appreciate that Norwich are a good team. They're actually a lot better than I thought they were going to be. For a fan base who really disliked their manager, they were good. Like, they were very difficult to get the ball off. Kenny McLean, Sara controlled a lot of it, but we still looked decent. Like, we broke forward in numbers. Great finish from Colback. The keeper's shot low, get us ahead. It was just kind of felt like the inevitable nature of coming out after half time, all the fans kind of thinking, right, you just got to keep it tight for 10 minutes, nothing silly. Like, I can't actually remember how we gave away the corner. I just remember it was something crap. Like, it was something we shouldn't have given the corner away. Kenny McLean was free from every corner in the first half. No one picked him up. He was in different positions every time. If fans are noticing that, I don't understand why anybody in the bench on the bench isn't noticing it and going, right, someone either needs to move on to him, or positions he moves into, he can't get the ball. First corner of the second half, he's free, he moves, he slots it home. Like, there was a corner in the first half. Armstrong has come back. He's pointing at the two men on the edge and someone else free, and he's saying, which of these three do you want me to pick up? Because I don't know. I'm not putting that on him. He needs to be told, that's your man. The edge of the box is left free. But we'll come on to the Stoke goal. We've got everybody back in our own box, but people are still free. I don't, it's so weird.
It's
I
because
know
we're
it's the
doing
kind of
this.
the line of they want this zonal line and then others pick up, but I don't know whether they get it.
It doesn't work. The zonal corner marking just doesn't work. We're supposed to have these players that are free to go and challenge for the ball. They're not doing that. And even if they do challenge for the ball, they don't win it. And everyone else is so static all the time. And that's the problem.
We always get
Like,
warning signs. We got the warning sign with a couple of times in the Norwich game. I remember the Cardiff game. They nearly scored a couple of corners before they scored their corners. Like, we always get warning. Rose nearly scored last night, didn't he? Before it happened. Like, there's warnings there to say it's going to happen, and it's just frustrating that we don't react, or no one's reacting. Well, where's Begovic? Where's Cook going? Let's get organised here. Who's doing what here? Why is Ilias Chair marking? That's the 6 foot centre back. I can't. Why is Larkesh doing it the other week? What? It's just frustrating. Harry, I don't know if you can add anything to the old Norwich
well, with the
draw.
corners, I'd say a lot of top teams do that three zonal and then the rest pick up man marking. I don't know whether it's necessarily the system that's letting us down. I think half of it comes down to desire. Like they want it more, and then also just concentration. Like Colback, well, I'm sure we'll get onto it. So I'll leave that for a second. But for the Norwich goal, I think Marty said Norwich blocked off Ilias for that one, which way he was completely free. So I don't know. It is very frustrating, the corner record, and I kind of thought we'd sorted it because we had a few games, didn't we? But I mean, a few games probably isn't enough. I mean, teams go seasons probably conceding just a handful of goals from corners. But I think I read a stat from Jack saying it was 13 we've conceded from set pieces, which is just crazy to me. But Norwich, overall, I actually enjoyed the performance. Like Chris said, and Dunk, sorry, they're flying at the minute. I travelled up with some Norwich fans and I felt really confident before getting on the train with them. I felt quietly confident we were going to turn them over after chatting to them about how they've been playing recently and how close they were to the top six. I didn't quite realise. I think they were only a point off the top six before Saturday. Felt a lot less confident. So a point isn't a terrible result. And also the performance was good. So you felt like going into Stoke, we're going to be able to build off of something. But then shall I go on to Stoke, Ben?
Yeah, go for it, mate. You were there, bud. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I went to the game. First half, mood was brilliant, really, for at least the first 25, 30 minutes. Pretty even at the start. And then I felt like we had a good 5-10 minute spell. Smith had two big chances, probably should have scored one of them. Created a couple of nice bits. Armstrong running the channels quite well in that first half. There was a bit more space than the second half, I felt. And then the goal, the 10, 15 minutes leading up to that, it was just coming. And I've said to my brother next week, but we've just got to get into half time because the performance at that point, it was inevitable that they were going to score. And then the corner, I think, came from something really sloppy, giving it away out the back. And then Clark Salters made a good challenge to stop. Well, it was a big chance anyway. But so it came from giving it away sloppily. And then they're not just one player got free, but the guy who's flicked it on at the back Berger at the back post, he was free in the middle as well. And I think he was pretty close to where the central zonal man was supposed to be. So I don't know why he's not gone and challenged for the ball. Then Colback switched off, and from there, come out second half, had 10 good minutes, and then I thought Stoke just managed the game fantastically well. I know it's hard, well, it's very frustrating from our point of view, but Baker went down for game stops for 2.5 minutes. A couple minutes later, Wouter Berger goes down for 2.5 minutes, and it just absolutely killed that momentum that we kind of built up in the first 10, and then the quality of final ball just wasn't there whenever we did get into a good position. And it didn't feel like we were going to score. I don't think the keeper had to make a save, really. So, it was very, very frustrating. I understand the meltdown on Twitter, but that's our first loss in five. And I know it hurts more because it was a big game, but I don't know. I think we're still in it, but yesterday dented our chances of survival. You can't help but feel it dented our chances. That's my take on the 90.
We had one shot in the second half and that was off target. One shot.
Yeah, Hayden's one wasn't expected.
See, like Jack might be able to stat check me if I'm wrong, but literally we're a team fighting for our status in this division. To have one shot off target when you're chasing a game with the amount of possession we had is just absolutely appalling. We had no ideas whatsoever to do against Stoke. They dropped deep and we had literally nothing. There was nothing. The players were making overlaps. We've mentioned before the pod started that about Chair letting Powell had the whole penalty box to himself and he didn't pass it to him. It's just like all the decision making on the players was bad. Because Chair just wound me up last night. I felt like he was literally trying to be a one man band, but not being able to play any instruments.
What a great analogy that is.
But he was trying to do everything and he couldn't do anything. Like, he was shooting from 40 yards out and it was hitting the first defender. He was trying to dink balls into the box and it was going straight to the keeper or straight out. Like, he was ignoring players, making decent overlapping runs. What was he does for us? It's just so frustrating that he has one good game and then six shit games.
First off, I thought he was okay. There was one where he chested it down and drove through the middle and then I think moved it on to Hodge. That's when it got slipped through to Smith. And he took his man on a couple of times, but second half, it was beyond frustrating. But I think, I don't know. First half, he was okay.
I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one who was shouting at the TV, pass the ball or cross the ball, because there were so many times, especially in the last 10 minutes, when we've got bodies in the box and it's too many twists and turns. And then the pass is too late, right? It passes, but it's too late. Like, the opportunity to get a decent cross. I mean, don't get me started on our crossing. Before I go into that, I think, Harry, I get your point, and I'm not against Martin in any way. I think he's doing great things, and I think he's making all the right decisions. You know, if you look at decisions that we, on this pod, have asked a manager to do, which is, Dezelle isn't good enough, right? Kakai's not good enough at this level. Jimmy Dunn's not, Fields not had a great start to the season. You know, Dykes, Willock didn't start yesterday. All these players that we've complained about aren't good enough consistently. Wasn't in the team yesterday, and we didn't see any difference to a mentality or drive, or no one wanted to take the ball and take us forward. It was we said it yesterday, no one, it was a bit like everyone was going through the motions. No one was really taking it, trying to get us going. And we spoke again yesterday, didn't we, Doug, about it felt like the pitch for us yesterday was too big. Not too big, but we were so far apart between our strikers and midfield and defence that Stoke, in first half particular, before the goal, they picked those holes really well in between the defence and midfield. They just moved around and found the pockets in between, which I think, especially at last 15 minutes you're talking about, we really were up against it, weren't we? And it was, we looked at sixes and sevens and mistakes were happening and loose passes and we couldn't get out enough. When it went up to Sinclair, he was doing the best he could, but there was no one within 10 yards of him sometimes. We were just hoping that he could try and win a free kick or a throw-in or something, which is just frustrating, mate. What's frustrating is it's just another big game and it's the loss. You can kind of, if we can take it a little bit, but it's just the performance which frustrates me more than anything. It's the fact that we just didn't give it a go. And some of that's on Marty for me as well. Like, I thought that maybe we could have been a bit braver with the subs a bit earlier. And Stoke was sitting back. They were happy with the draw. They were happy with winning 1-0, I mean. So I thought that maybe we could have done a bit more, a bit sooner. Maybe kept Armstrong on for 10, 15 minutes with Frey and just seen how that went. I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but... and it's just frustrating because I want to be positive. Like, I was hoping, Saturday was good and we'd follow that up. But for whatever reason, this team cannot build up any real momentum or can't keep a consistent level of performance for more than a match or two. And that's just frustrating, isn't it? I don't know what we do. We've swapped the team around now, really, haven't we? Like I said, so it's... I don't know. Chris, what do you think, mate?
I think second half almost felt like it was 11 players who have turned up to play together for one of the first times. And at the start of that half, they've gone, what's your name? What's your name? All right, cool. Because it felt like, I played football on a Friday night. Just like random people in the WhatsApp group getting together. Because there was so little synergy with anything, like activity. No, it was just... But you sensed for ages in that half we weren't going to score. And that's what almost made it more frustrating, because you just like, we've had that game, that same game has happened 3-4 times this season, and we can't get out of it. So is that on the players? Is it on the managers or on the coaching staff to go, this needs to change at 45 minutes, at 60 minutes? Needs to be far more impetus of people going, no, we're going to move the ball a lot quicker. Because that's what... I mean, we've talked about Chair. that's what was just the epitome of what Stoke wanted us to do. We did. We were slow on the ball, let one person have it for ages, didn't move it quick enough, not enough runs off the ball. Stoke must have thought, God, this game's well easy to defend against. Sit back, stay in your shape, don't do anything silly, and we'll be fine. But, yeah, just the back to the chair thing. Yeah, he second half, really poor. But how many times are we good as a team when he's not good? If he's good, we play well. If he's crap, we play crap. So I don't want to go, it's not just on him. But no one else is looking to step up. Admittedly, they're not really given the ball yesterday to have that opportunity. But I know I defend him a lot on this, but still feel we are so reliant on him. Because if he doesn't have Willett close to him, he doesn't have anything else with him, he does what he did yesterday, and he has this superhero complex of, I can do everything, and I will do everything. And God, yesterday, it did not come off, did it? These dinky chips from the middle of the pitch into the penalty box. A straight ball is exactly what a goalkeeper and defender want. They never, ever work. And is it a case where no one else in the team can bollock him? Or goes, what are you doing? Stop that. Like, you would have thought a Cook or a Colback have that mentality. But I don't know, maybe it happens and he ignores it. What? I don't know, but there was basically so little to be positive about yesterday, except that first 10 minutes. But if Smith scores, that is a completely different game. That crowd turns against them, and I think we win that comfortably 1-2-0 with them trying to break us down and do nothing.
Harry, why can't we get this team going consistently? Why are these big games that we need 6 points we just don't turn up in? Again, the result aside, you know, we aren't going to win them all, but performance-wise, the performance levels have just been so bad. There's been 3 or 4 games, and you know we've got Rotherham in a week, couple of weeks, and I can already see what's going to happen. Like, I hope it doesn't, but do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think Dunk summed it up perfectly earlier. I think it really comes down to mentality. I feel like they really feel the pressure of these big games. I don't know. You'd really like to hope that they're not feeling the pressure and it's affecting performances this much, but there's enough evidence over the last couple of years to support that it really is, especially the teams around us. It's like as soon as we play a team that's a bit higher up in the table, that pressure's taken off. We're the underdogs. And they always play better. Like Huddersfield and yesterday, worst performances that we've had sort of in the last month and against the teams with the lowest league position. But then in terms of actually playing, I felt like we moved the ball so slowly yesterday. And not only just Chair holding it up. And he was obviously a big part of that. Just as a team, it was just there wasn't enough zip on the passes. And I put a tweet out praising Hodge because watching it, I felt like although he didn't have a great game, I felt like there was a bit more urgency in what he does.
Yeah.
There's a couple of times in the second half where he might have given it away, but then he snapped in, won it back, fed it to it might have been Chair at the time, and we're on the front foot. Another couple of times where he's fed it wide and behind quickly, done it at pace. So then Stoke haven't dropped off and we're on the front foot, but then our final ball was terrible. But if everyone could take a little bit of a leaf out of his book and move it a bit quicker, we might have had a bit more of a half chance yesterday. But yeah, in terms of why it goes wrong, I'd say mentality and then just the speed. Chris, about why no one's bollocking Chair, you'd like to think Cook and JCSR, because as they're walking off to the tunnel after the first half, both of them were berating Colback for that first goal, like really getting into him. So you'd like to think that they're letting Chair know, or maybe they're not because that's the attacking side. Maybe they just feel like they could speak on the defensive half of things, but he really does need to be told. Because when he does things quicker, he's brilliant because he's technically there. But I think every QPR fan, just half the games, leave very frustrated with him because he's not lived up to his potential, which we do see on some of those games.
I like Hodge. I think he's a good player. Hodge, I like him. I think he's tidy. I think he's positive. He gets stuck in. The issue is with him, this issue, I'm just not sure. Well, it might be harsh and just maybe the way he's the positioning, but he wasn't close enough to Sinclair for me. He wasn't right up there. He was too deep. And, you know, it might be what he's been told. I don't know. But I'd have liked to have seen him further up and pushing on more.
Disappointed. On the right hand side, the only person other than Sinclair in the box is Powell. He's our left back.
Yeah.
That happened on multiple occasions. If you watch back the Norwich goal, it's gone in, Sinclair and Powell there, and then it's fallen to Colback, who's arrived in the box. Surely one of the midfielders is being told to break the box, or maybe two of them being told to break the box. It's like you say, not being close enough to Sinclair. How do we expect anything to happen if we leave him one man up there against the back three yesterday with Stoke? Like, it's not going to happen, is it?
I was Sinclair, disappointed with Hodge yesterday.
Oh.
I just felt like, I didn't even think he was even playing in the first half. I thought he was anonymous. I honestly didn't really see how much of an effect he had in the game at all. And I know we weren't brilliant, but personally for me, I think he went missing yesterday.
First half maybe, but I like the second half. But maybe I've seen it wrong. A couple people when I put that tweet out didn't agree with me either. So, but I just he didn't do tons, especially first half. But I just thought he played with more urgency. That's it from.
He looks like a very similar version of Colback. They look like very similar type of, I don't know, players. I don't know. I thought that midfield would work nicely. The quite dynamic of it would work, and it might still work. And it did okay at Norwich, but I do feel like we haven't got enough bodies forward, or he's not close enough. And again, I don't know whether that's the tactical decisions or whether that's him just wanting the ball and coming deep. But again, Stoke, we were so far apart from midfield to defence to midfield to attack. I don't know. We just needed to step up. Easier said than done, obviously, but I just felt like we needed to step up, especially in the last half an hour, 5 or 10 yards. But we just never did. We were playing it around at the back, but we were so deep playing it around at the back. You know, like, it's kind of frustrating.
I wasn't sure whether that for the first half that was tactical.
Yeah,
so Stoke's line comes further up because they're trying to squeeze some of the space. So then there's more space for Sinclair to go into. Yeah. I don't know. It might have been the game plan, but we were so much deeper than we were in a lot of recent games that I feel it had to have been something. And again, I thought there were times again in that first half where you're like, Sinks is going to get past him here. He's going to do him. He's going to get McNally's going to get booked, and then Armstrong will have free reign because he did it against Gibson. He did it against Helic. It's kind of the first 25-minute game plan. It's just get Sinclair in the channels, try and get the centre-back booked. Unfortunately, McNally actually had a really good game against Armstrong. Armstrong wasn't really getting any of these possible 50-50 fouls. Didn't think many of them were fouls, to be honest. Haven't seen the one where he might get whacked in the face, but that was in our own half anyway. And yeah, because I've got a mate who's a Stoke fan. He was like, oh, we can't deal with Armstrong at all. It's like, yeah, but his final decision isn't great. Even if he beats your centre back, we won't have faith that he's going to do it. So even when he got in on that in the first half on the right hand side, and he did well to hold the ball up, he waiting for support. Chair was in the box. I think there was somebody, might have been Hodge. The ball across was awful, like well above everybody's head, went out for a throw, and it's like, it's just those little things, which I think comes back to what Harry said, that our final ball in the final third just nowhere to be seen so, yesterday.
Go back to what Harry was saying about Chair getting a bollocking. He went mad at Sinks for that cross.
Yeah.
And it was difficult because I think Sinks kind of had held it up for as long as he could and just tried to get the ball in the box. I don't know how much Chair would have got it, even if it had been along the ground. I think Chair was a couple of yards behind the defender anyway. But if he's going to bollock people like Sinks, who's making all the runs into the channel and relieving some of the pressure on us, then he's got to take the criticism as well, if it's going to come.
Yeah.
And like we've said, Colback and Hayden, I thought were going to be organising and controlling the midfield for us. I felt like they're two experienced pros and they would do that. And they didn't yesterday. No one took control for us in the game. No one took the game by the scruff of the neck and was like, right, I'm taking control. I'm driving forward. We're doing this, that and the other. Chair a little bit tried to, but it was more, like you said, the superhero kind of complex of I want to do everything, but not do a lot.
I like Hayden. I think he's a really good addition. We keep him fit. He's gonna be a really good addition to the team. And I continually keep thinking that Jake Clark-Salter is quality. Every time I see him, I just think he's really good. I thought Reggie Cannon was particularly... It's frustrating because I thought he was getting going as well, but he was particularly poor last night. He looked injured towards the end. He could barely run. I don't know if anyone else saw that. He was really struggling to get going.
His quality seems to have really gone backwards the last few games. He so rarely seems to get forward now. See those early games he was playing, he seemed to get in good attacking positions. Now, it might be an element of the system because obviously Powell gets forward a lot. We aren't in a position where our right back and our left back can get forward a lot. But he'd sort of advance with the ball and then prepared to stop, work it around rather than get it to Smith, possibly go on the overlap or underlap. Yeah, and everyone just needs to give a lot more, right? But the Clark sort of thing is a spot on. He's not going to say it because we don't want to say it, but yeah, I think he's very good near enough every game. Seems to be making like not quite last ditch blocks, but throwing his body in the way most games, like good positioning. Yeah,
the player he's not the quickest to the game. He's not the quickest over like 5 yards, is he? But then once he gets going, he gets going, doesn't he? And that's why he's always making these last dip. I feel like the defender's got past him and out of nowhere he'll sort of, you know, do that last ditch tackle.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
He's brilliant. About Cannon, sorry, quickly on the system.
Yeah, go on.
Reminded me, I had a look at average positions after the Norwich game. And if you look at it, it is almost like a back three. If you look on the average positions, because Chair rolls inside a little bit. And like we said, like Powell's getting in the box, his average position is higher than I think Colback's and Hayden's. So when we've got the ball, where he goes high, and at times yesterday after seeing that on after the Norwich game, you can really notice like Clark-Salter goes wider on the left, Reggie Cannon stays, but obviously Cannon does sometimes bomb on, but I don't know. I think it probably gets the most out of Cannon's strengths, because on the ball, I don't know, he looks a little bit suspect. So if he can be a bit more reserved, and he's quite good defensively, hopefully it'll pay dividends over the course of the season.
What are we going to do with these? Yesterday. What are we going to? Yeah, he was. What are we going to do about these crossing and corners? Like, they're just. Out of everything I ever watched, it's the most irritating thing in the world. We get a corner and you're supposed to be remotely positive, aren't you? Like, come on, but I'm just like, this is not going to do anything. It's not going to beat the first man. And if it does, we're not going to win the header because we never do anyway. Like, I can't even remember the last time we nearly scored a corner. Never mind scoring one. I can't remember the last time we nearly scored one, right? I don't know why Addison hasn't taken the crosses when he comes in. He's a set-piece special. Like, you know, just give it up, chair or back. Just let him do it, right? And just... So that's frustrating. But aside from the corners and set pieces, which is free kicks as well, which are terrible, which are floated in, right, which are just pointless, is that when we do get in a position to cross it, it's just never a decent cross, is it? Ever. And just frustrating. Like, it's not just in his chair. He is one of the frustrating ones, but it's kind of everyone. Like Reggie Cannon had two that just went over the bar. It didn't even get into the box. When it, you know, Smith in the first half had two that were just too long. You know, it's just really frustrating. And I think that for the next 2 days, all they should do is crossing.
Crossing practice, corner practice. The one man who can cross the ball is Chris Willock. Like,
yeah,
I know we've debated on this pod, does Willock start, should Smith start? Like, people have their own opinions on Willock, whether we should play him, want him out, whatever. The amount of, he still put, I mean, the goal against Norwich, his good ball in the box, gun knocks down, Colback knocks in, still puts a good ball in majority of the time. Like, yeah, he might dilly-dally on the ball and it looks like he's going to fall over when he does cross it in, but it's still in the right area that we need. But yeah, we were talking about the Anderson thing on set pieces earlier before we start recording. We're not sure whether if him coming on in this second game and going, I'm taking corners, is too much of a bold attitude. It's a like Billy Big Bollocks thing to do. And Dunk, you made a good point about this, so I'll let you chime in now.
The thing is, like, I feel we need the Billy Big Bollocks attitude. I feel like he needs to come in and say, look, lads, your corners are terrible. Let me have a chance. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? It's going to hit the first man again and we all just accept the inevitable. Like, but Ben said, like, but the corners, like, our corners are like a goal kick for us. Like, there's no goal threat from them at all. Whereas when we concede a corner, it's like a penalty for the other team. Like, there's a 50-50 chance they're going to score from it. And when you're in a relegation battle, set pieces are your bread and butter. That's what keeps you up. You look at any team fighting for survival, they're solid defensively from set pieces and they score goals from set pieces. We don't do either. So why Chair and Powell are on them still, I don't know. Like, Colback's probably got a better delivery, surely. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. He's tiny anyway. There's no point having him in the box for a corner. He's not going to get on the end of a header. Like, get him on them. Just try something different. I'm sick and tired of seeing Chair and Powell not beat the first man.
That was what a Stoke fan said to me. He said, your team is very small. That was it. We've got a very small team. And I didn't think about it, right? And then I looked around and thought, actually, it is quite small, isn't it? I know you've got Kenneth Powell, Reggie Cannon, massive, big. Then you've got the Colback, Hodge, Smith, Chair. That's nearly more than half your team, which none of them are over, I don't know.
None of them are over 6 foot at all, are they?
Well, no, definitely 5'10", or maybe Cannon, I don't know. But none of them are...
That's the thing. So, like, if a corner was great and we were putting in consistent deliveries, who are we going, oh, they're going to get on the end of it? It's like when people are looking for what centre-back to bet on, we haven't had one since like Tony last night. It felt like, right, he's going up for a corner. He is going to get everybody else out of the way and he's going to get his head on that ball. Like, I can't... Obviously, Clark sort of scored the goal against Huddersfield. That's the only one I can remember this season. But it doesn't feel like we've got those options. When, like, Afray, Dykes are on the pitch, maybe. But, yeah, the starting 11, you're not really thinking, oh, we can actually score from this. If you're defending against us, you're like, yeah, probably not going to concede, even if this ball's amazing, because we've got bigger players than them.
But then it goes to surprise as well, then, that when we've got such small players, why everyone is back in the box? You'd think surely you'd leave Chair and Smith like up on the halfway line, could cause it, and then that automatically means Stoke are going to put three back there.
Smith is, isn't he? He does do that, doesn't he? That's where Smith is.
Yeah, I know, like we say, like everyone else is back in the box. Why have everyone then? Why not take another body out, have a bit more space for the zonal players to attack rather than being like boxed in or blocked off by runners if there's not as many attackers in the box.
I don't know why Chez in the box anyway in corners. I don't know what he would add. Even if he, I just don't understand it. He can't win a header. So what? And he's, do you know what I mean? Like what? I don't get it. Like,
we used to leave one up, and then we were obviously conceding way too many. So now we've gone back to 11. But yeah, maybe it is now worth going. No, we're going to stick. We did this for a period. I don't remember how many years ago, but we used to stick like might have been Willock and Chair right on the touch lines when we were defending corners, because like you say, that leaves at least three of them to be
bad. Warburton did that, didn't he?
Yeah, we're almost going. Right, we're seeing this as an opportunity to counter attack. There was one I can't remember who it was against, but where Willock then like lobbed the keeper.
That was Luton
at the school end. Yeah. Was it? Yeah,
I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, good memory. And still remember, I mean, this is going back, but like when we'd leave Bright up and like Lumley caught the ball, one of his best passes of Lumley's career, Bright say someone was up the other end, either he scored or he won a penalty.
It was Cardiff, it was Cardiff, wasn't it, at home? We won 6-1, I think it was that, wasn't it?
I don't think anybody can forget that game. That was a game I think we're just going to keep, put that on loop on a Saturday at 3 o'clock instead of watching what we currently are.
Harry, what are you making of new signers, mate?
I like Hayden.
Anderson looks really unfit, doesn't he? Like, he looks like he could be. He looks fairly tidy on the ball, but he looks really unfit. Which, not unsurprising.
He came on and he did run his socks off, but you know when a player's running, and the same with Frey. You know when they're running, you can just tell like
they're
way off fitness. Like they were giving it some. But it looks like you're watching, especially Frey, like it's like you're watching your dad play or something. Like the way he's moving, he just, I don't think he'll ever look the most nimble or mobile. But Anderson as well. To be honest with you, with both of those, I'm not expecting big things. But if they can pleasantly surprise me like Frey did on Saturday with the goal, it was a good finish. And Anderson with the cross, it was a good cross. Then great, but I'm not overly excited about both of them, which is fairly negative for me because I'm usually quite positive about QPR. But I do like Hayden a lot, and I like Hodge, even contrary to most people yesterday. I thought he did all right, and I thought Hayden was okay again. But the previous two games, they both looked to upgrade on what we had in midfield, and I think they'll be quite key. So, but just having four new players in is a plus. But the two in midfield, I'm pretty positive on, and then hopefully the other two give us something. But there's been some stuff on Twitter today. I don't know if you were going to bring it up about contract situations. So it was Sinclair posted a picture with his agent, and there's like a handshake thing at the training ground. It's a bit of an odd one to post. Like, why is he posting a picture of his agent at the training ground? And then also I saw something on, it was Clive from Lost for Words posted when he was in the US. He said he had a lunch with a sports journo who'd been talking to an agent who told him Sam Field had been close to moving to the MLS. They liked his numbers, thought he'd be a good fit, only it fell through because they've been told he'd signed a new 4-year contract at QPR. And at the times he said, oh, he thought bollocks to that. Like, but then now the CEO has said, we're not going to know contract lengths. We're not going to know whether this Armstrong thing or this Field thing is true until someone gets a contract announced. Or if no one gets a contract announced, then who knows? Like, they could just be signing contracts without telling us. I don't know.
God, guys, Chris Willock must have signed a new 3-year deal.
Yeah, I thought that's why he's starting.
Don't worry, we've got Brad outside the training ground. He's waiting to get any of the latest gossip. Don't worry. He's been stationed there all day.
I've been asking him, do you know what's going on? And he's been going, bruv, leave it with me. But he hasn't got a Scooby. Well, he might do.
He'll find out.
Pestering Norrie's like brother or something, or some relative, like on social media. So do you think? So that was weird, that old Sinclair thing. But it's difficult difficult not to read too much into it, but is it like, I don't know.
We just will never know.
It's got to be something good for us, surely, if he's doing it at the training ground, if that's where the photo's taken. If he's signing with a new agent to try and get a move, he's not going to do it agent. In the... No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was something like that, he's not going to be doing that in our training ground and posting it from there, is it? It would be more like a dinner thing. He puts it like, I'm out for dinner with so-and-so, whatever. Like, when he's doing that at the training ground, it makes you think that's a new contract.
But I don't understand this no contract, not letting us know. Sorry, it's a good point, good topic to go on to. I get what he's trying to say. I understand it, right? But I don't understand how that can work as transparency with fans. How we're not going to know what levels contracts are. Are we just going to wake up the 1st of June and half our team have gone on free transfers? I don't get it. Like, how does that work? People are going to know. They're online, aren't they? Anyway, they're reported online and stuff like that.
Ours supposedly won't be, but there's two reasons why it's pretty pointless, in my opinion. One, what you've said, like, will cause some disparity with fans, but why it would be nice for us to know. And then two, anyone in the game is going to find out. Like an agent trying to speak, an agent speaking to a club wanting to move, he's just going to tell the club how long he's on a deal for. So people will find out. So there's not going to actually give us any edge in the transfer market, because if an agent wants his player to move, he's not going to hold that back. So I can't for the life of me see the benefit, but maybe he's got a trick up his sleeve, this new fella, and we just can't see it. But I don't know. It's not like those two reasons for me are enough to just let us know.
If we were to take a real
4-year deal for Sam Field feels a lot.
It'd be good for the club.
Yeah. We need to nail Sinclair down, man. We just need to nail him down. Like, I'm happy with whatever league we're in next season for him to lead the line. We need it. We need, you know, other striking options, obviously, but we just need to nail him down, don't we? He could be an asset.
He would command a fee, wouldn't he? Like one of the few players. Same if Sam Field signed a deal, he's one of few players that would command a fee. So
he should want to stay, though. Is he? Like, I don't. What's his development should sit with someone like a QPR where he is. I mean, he's probably developing at a higher level than he actually should be. Still, really, he should be further down in his development than he is. But you know, he is kind of lucky to be starting at QPR every week. Do you know what I mean? He'd be better signing a new deal, continuing to play. We've got a lot of faith in him, and then it doesn't work like that, though, does it?
No, but yeah, we've done the right thing. He's got a manager who's got a lot of faith in him. He's playing him every game. When we say most weeks, he has developed so much from a technical point of view, I feel, almost in the last 3 months than what he's done in the past. Well, since he burst on the scene for us, really. Like, now consistently, he seems to do a few times when he seems to pass the ball a bit too far backwards last night. But hold up play, good, getting it under, generally playing the right pass. That, the start of season, wasn't happening. So again, we need that to reflect. If he's happy with us and we're telling him the right things, then that's what we need to do.
Do we think that because they've both got options, haven't they? So they're not out of contract this summer anyway. They've both got options this summer, haven't they? So I'm just wondering whether the club will wait. If it, like you say, with contracts and stuff, it feels like we're having a completely different approach. And even if we have agreed it, then maybe we'll wait. I don't know. Anything else? Anyone else before we go on to preview in Bristol City? Any other topics? Any observations? Any more moans?
Well, one tiny thing I'm going to bring up from the Norwich game. We had much better ball boys at the game. Like, ball boys who wanted to shit house all the time, who knew when to give the ball back to the keeper and stuff. There was one guy in front of the loft who you're very comical. And he had someone out come and have a word with him about, you can do that, but you have to be a little bit smarter about it.
Right.
Did make me laugh.
Doug, anything else, mate? You've got to have something else that you want to bode about.
I don't know. No, I'm ready to talk about Bristol City.
Harry, any changes for Bristol
City? Ben's favourite away game, Bristol City.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. Well, I say that, but I like the ground. I think it's just a great ground, like, when you're in it. Like,
and the staff are so friendly and helpful, aren't they?
That's when I lost my ticket. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to bore everyone with that. But, Harry, what changes would you make, if any?
I'd probably leave it the same, other than Willock for Smith. I really like Smith, and I think he's had a good season. But he was poor, and Willock has been okay in the last few games, and maybe Smith might have a big impact off the bench. Dunk, you don't look like you agree with that, but yeah, maybe Smith might have bigger impact off the bench. It's a fairly big pitch there, isn't it? And I think we just got to have one of Armstrong and Smith on the pitch at all times, because I hate it when both of them are off, because there's no ability to stretch a team. Like, you're not going to stick Frey in behind and expect him to actually beat the man in a foot race. So
he is up against Rob Dickey. We all know he's not very quick. That would be an interesting race.
Great race.
My they love him at Bristol City. They love him. I've got a mate and he's saying he's like the best thing since sliced bread. He scored the other week. He said he's brilliant. Same with Dizelle. Birmingham fans are saying, no, he scored at the weekend, didn't he?
I love Rob Dickey, but he was bad last season. But he should have been taken out the firing line, which we spoke about on this pod countless times.
Yeah.
But we have Doug and Murphy. it just killed him. He needed the move. Like, it was never going to happen again for him here. And you like, I would have put money on him doing work at Bristol City, so I'm not surprised that they like him.
My only thing with the whole Smith argument is I just don't feel that he is ever consistent enough. Like, he got his chance against Stoke, he fought big pitch, space to get into, and he didn't take it at all. Like, he huffed and puffed a little bit, but I feel like this has been his season for us this year. Like, he just huffs and puffs, occasionally gets on the end of something, occasionally gets the better of someone. But again, he just lacks that quality, lacks that efficiency in the final third.
He's a typical winger, a quick winger. Like, he'll turn up, he'll have a good game once a month, maybe. But he is better off the bench. He's more effective off the bench. I thought that the left back at Stoke was quick and was physical, and he just didn't have any answers. He couldn't go around him because the guy, there was a couple of times where he thought he'd got him, and then the guy caught up with him and stuff. So do you know what I mean? When you're a quick winger, you need to. If you're not quicker than the fullback, you need something else. And he hasn't got that, has he? He hasn't. You know, he's not going to skin someone like Chair does. And his delivery is just so bad. Still sucks. When he came back, I was just kind of hoping that his end product was. But also, he hasn't played off the left yet, has he? Which was where he had his good season, off the left, cutting in. He's consistently been on the right, hasn't he? Because Chair's on the left. I don't know.
I don't know. Off the left, if you watch like his goals from last season, he scored a lot of good goals, and I think it just shows the golfing quality between the two leagues. Because he's obviously you're not absolutely getting the time and the space, are you? Like, he so. But I think it's
and when he gets the opportunity, Harry, he thrashes at it, doesn't he? He really does.
He needs that
himself. Goal. He just hits it. And it's like one that he had where it went side netting. Like, just hit it across the goal. Like, it doesn't matter if you've missed. It's across the goal. Someone might tap it in, knock it in. Oh God. Like, he's done that three or four times. I remember Southampton away. I don't know if anyone remembers it. He had a great chance where all he needs to do is knock it across the keeper. Keeper would have saved it. It would have got like... And he hit it bloody... side net, like bar side netting type. Oh, frustrating. Sorry, Harry.
It is. No, I think it's harsh though to turn on him, because we talk about the mentality of the squad being poor, but whether it's off the bench or whether it's from the start, like, I do think he gives a lot of effort and does make things happen through it. I know he's not like when you watch him, technically he's not there.
No.
And if he didn't have the pace, he wouldn't be playing in this division. But I think across the season, like he's been, well, he's been involved in a lot of the good things that we do. I don't know. I think I've quite enjoyed him this season. Maybe enjoyed him more than his performances warrant because we've been lacking pace so much out wide. Maybe that's a factor. I don't know, but I think I don't think we should turn on him too much. I quite like him as a player, so it's my
piece. I like him. Yeah, I like him, and he works hard and he tries and stuff. I think he's more effective off the bench. I don't think he has enough quality for this league. Personally, it's just like him. That's just, do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think he does enough when he's in the positions that where he should be delivering a good ball, or do you know what I mean? Like when he's taking on a defender and he's just easily hits the first man or goes over.
Two goals and three assists. For us
next season in League One.
Yeah, that's it. What about? I was thinking about, like, I'd like Marty to be a bit braver. I don't think it fits in his formation, in his style of play, but having the two up top, like maybe a Lyndon Dykes playing in a deeper role, but still like a centre forward, but just in a deeper centre forward. It's worked a couple of times away from home, hasn't it? But I just don't know if it fits the style of play, missing that, taking out that midfielder in the formation.
So would you drop Hodge for Dykes on Saturday then?
Well, I don't know, mate. Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult. Half of me says would three at the back be an option, but again, I just don't think that's, you know, we kind of play it anyway. But
yeah, we just, it's a fluid system. If we had,
but we move to the side of the pitch, don't we? That's how we move. So when it's on the, like. So you wouldn't get that, would you, with the 2-4? But Harry would probably be better to know. But would that formation fit this?
What, going with style? A 2?
Going with a 3 at the back?
Well, yeah, it can. But like I said, we're sort of playing that. And it's kind of the difference between having to rely on a 3 or a 5 or having a well-coached back 4, like out of possession when we're defending, it's a 4. And then it becomes a 3. And then to have 2 up top, we kind of did it when Dykes came on. Like, the guy in front of me went, oh my God, Dyke's left wing. But what really happened was when we had the ball, like when we didn't have it, he was dropping back and tracking back on their right wing back or whatever. But when we had the ball, he rolled inside and Powell's left wing sort of sharing that position with Chair. I mean, it can work, but he seems pretty regimented in that sort of on paper 4-3-3. But I would have liked to have seen Frey come on with Armstrong, like you said, Ben, earlier. It just felt like Armstrong had done well in that first half running the channels, but it almost felt like it just needed someone to flick it onto him in that second half. Like, there wasn't that space to just hit a direct one in behind for him. So I'd like to see it, but I think he's pretty stuck in it. And I don't think he'll drop Hodge. Like, I know half of it would have been to do with legs yesterday, but you see he took off the two defensive midfielders, move him deeper. And I think if we were to move to one where there's just two in midfield, I think if you rely on Hayden and Colback's legs, they just aren't there to get about as a two. I think he's gonna keep playing Hodge, but I mean, I wouldn't mind to see something change, because, well, we need to start picking up some momentum and maybe a change is needed. But I don't know. I think you'll
problem is problem is that like Cruyff school of football, isn't he? Where if plan A doesn't work, keep trying plan A until plan A does work. And I think that's part of the problem sometimes with Marty. He wants us to constantly be playing this kind of football. Whereas I felt against Stoke, especially, yes, we could have just let's just put some balls into the box from deep, just mix it up a little bit, try something different. Because Stoke were reading everything we were doing yesterday and they controlled the game in that element of it.
They went super defensive, didn't they, in second half? Like, unhappy. Like, I mean, we weren't putting them under enough pressure, but they did go superly defensive. Like, they were just happy with the 1-0. They're flat. They had a flat back five, didn't they? Like, literally flat.
But could you imagine us doing that? No, because Marty's already said that he won't do that. His way is, we'll just score again. But there's going to be games where you can't do that and you have to adapt. And that's why I say I feel like he's got it's plan A until plan A works.
Will Sam Field come in, do you think? I think Hayden, don't know if he's got 3 games in a week in him.
Yeah, it's a good point. Wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, you never know how well Hayden can recover. A Wednesday to a Saturday is obviously more difficult than a Tuesday to Saturday, isn't it? You know, something Warburton kept mentioned a lot. But when it was a Wednesday and then travelling on a Saturday, it was always more difficult. But
I just watched this set piece again. I don't know why I'm doing it. Sorry.
not going to sleep
Interesting
very well
build came
tonight,
on
are
at
you?
centre half, though, isn't it? Oh, you wonder
Well,
if he
was
sees
that?
him there.
Harry, I've said this for I think months and months. Sam Field's a better centre back than he is a centre midfielder. So if Marty's noticed that, then
Yeah, but he's not as
he's
good
going to
as
get me on the
Clark, Salter and
coaching.
Cook, so
Yeah, so he won't start.
he won't start.
Which is fine.
No.
Fine. But he's an
I'm
all-right
just wondering whether
option.
there's a more dynamic. Sorry, go on, Harry.
Well, it's an all-right option for both, really, off the bench. And like if Clark Salter does pick up an injury, he's not great on like sorry, he's not very good on the ball in mid for a midfielder. But stick him at centre half of the whole game in front of him, then he suddenly looks all pretty all right on the ball. It's a whole different thing, isn't it? So,
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah. Sorry, Ben, you were getting going.
Oh, yeah, sorry, mate. I'm not going to get going. I can't remember what I was going to say. I was going to say, who's our backup right back? Is it
Drew,
Dixon Bonner?
Drew.
Like, if Can, if no, I know, but on Saturday, on yesterday, if some, if Can had to go off injured, would it have been Dixon Bonner at right back?
Yeah, or Hayden. I've read that he's played
Yeah,
centre half
Hayden.
and right back before.
Colback can play right back as well, can't he?
Left back, he's left footed.
Is he left? Is he? I think he's
Yeah,
right
it'd
back.
be funny watching
Anyway,
him right back.
predictions then, lads.
Loss.
We play better against the better teams, though, don't we? That's
Yeah.
one thing that we have
You got.
historically done. We can't get up for the teams that are in around us, but we tend to play better. Not always the right result, but we tend to play better against the better teams.
Well, it can't be worse. It can't be a worse performance
Oh
than
my God, I can't believe you've
yesterday.
just said that.
Yeah, it
Definitely.
definitely can be.
Go on, Doug, what are you saying, mate?
I'm going to be optimistic.
Oh.
And I predicted before the 3 games we'd get 4 points. We've got one of them so far. We're going to get a win against Bristol City. Rob Dickey's going to absolutely spoon one into the top corner as an own goal. And we're going to win 1-0. That's my prediction.
We saw Bristol City at home and they didn't look great. It was nil nil, but I mean, it was not a great game and they didn't look great. But that was his first game, old that Manning. So they look a bit of a different animal now, don't they?
Didn't they beat Southampton 3-0?
Yeah,
Three
and
3-1, wasn't it, in the end?
comfortably as
3-1.
well, comfortably.
And with that in mind, I'm gonna predict a 2-0 QPR win.
Yeah.
I'm blind optimism, but I just think we're gonna get a result this weekend.
God, I don't.
Out of the last 5 games, we won two and drawn two, and then obviously lost to Stoke. They've only won two and drawn one. So statistically, over the last 5 games, we're on a better run than they are.
There we go.
There you go,
You
look.
go. Optimism. We'll end on a bit of optimism. We're going to win. All right, that's cool. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. We've got a couple of ex players coming on in the next couple of weeks. Try and, yeah.
Yes, we can
Try and
positive
boost
podcast.
everyone's morale a little bit and try not to focus too much on all the negatives. So listen out for that. And yeah, thanks for listening. Let's hope we can get a win on Saturday. Yours.
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 Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.